Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see so many people filling these chairs. And we also wave at the people at the balcony. Those who can't, yeah, wave at the people at the balcony. Hi there, good to see you. Eileen, Wayne, Sharon. Yeah, I know you can't see them, but in faith, they are there. Yes, that's right, the people at the back. It's particularly good to have the Girls Brigade here and their families. And it's good to have Kieran there. Hi, Kieran. Yes, he's the star of the show there. He'll be keeping us entertained throughout the whole of the service, reminding us that this is Mothering Sunday. Just a couple of notices in a moment, but let's just pray before we do anything else. Father God, we thank you that you love people and you love us. And you welcome us here this morning with open arms. You are delighted to see us here. Thank you that we can come into your presence in freedom through Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that today we truly will come home to you and enjoy being in your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Right, so there's a couple of notices. Firstly, today is Hungry Hearts Day, which means we have a bring and share lunch in the Crosslink Hall just over there after the service. We have service, then we have some refreshments, then about 1 o'clock, there's a bring and share lunch. If you would like to eat with others rather than on your own today, that's the whole principle of it. Sunday lunchtime can be quite a lonely time. And of these days in particular, when we think of families and so on, it's particularly important that if you'd like to eat with others, then do stay on. Debbie, who will be speaking a bit later on in the service, and Hayley and others will be there welcoming you. So do come and stay for lunch. If you haven't brought lunch with you to the bring and share, I'm told there is always plenty. Is that right? Yes, there's always plenty. So don't go home on your own. Do come and share lunch. When we come together as a church family and everyone else is coming along to join in with the family life, it's important that we mourn with those who mourn and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And this day, Mothering Sunday, can be a very sad day for many. And I know there'll be many people who won't be here today, or they'll stay away from the church they normally go to because it is just too painful to be with others that remind them of a loss of mum or someone else who was special in their life. So thank you for coming, for those who find this day difficult. We mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we have freedom today to laugh and to cry, to have fun and to reflect upon some of the difficulties in the world around us. All emotions are allowed. And I hope that's helpful for you. And in that vein, we're very mindful today that Tony, Anne's husband, Tony Pridgent, died last night. We've tried to tell as many people before, announcing it from the front as possible. Tony and Anne welcomed us with a meal when we came down to preach with a squint. And we're in their home. And it was a fun-filled time with people gathered around the table. And I'm sure a number of us have very many happy memories of Tony. And the great thing is, he is now more alive than he's ever been. You saw the banner outside as you came in, new life, new hope. Because of what Jesus has done, we have the sure and certain hope that Tony's fully alive and we will see him again. Yes. Now is a time of mourning and grieving, and those emotions are up and down and up and down. And we're with you in it, Anne. And I know you are surrounded by love here today. And Yeah, so we give thanks that we can come to church, to a church family, on the sad days as well as the happy days. And that just brings me to a final notice. We have 1,000 messages of new life, new hope. They won't bring new life and new hope sat on the table, but they will placed in people's hands. Or push through the letterbox and then run away. I don't mind how you do it. I became a Christian because somebody gave me a Christian leaflet. I don't mind if you bomb a whole street and in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter. The important thing is this is a message of new life, new hope. This is our Easter theme, chosen before the invasion of Ukraine. And new life, new hope, very much what people are looking for. And so it's a very simple message. There's some details of our Easter services in it. Take them, put them in your Easter cards if you send them. Pray about it, give them to friends, neighbours. We've got time to do a reprint. So they put out early because Leslie and I are not here next week. So do take them and make the most of them. Mothering Sunday, which is what today is, it's not Mother's Day, it's Mothering Sunday. And the original idea of the Church of England in this country was that on Mothering Sunday, those people who perhaps were working in service or working away from home would be able to come back to their mother church and to their family and to be with them on Mothering Sunday. And there would be the sharing of gifts and a celebration time. All since then, all sorts of other things have come in. But today is a day for coming home. Coming home to the Lord. It's a day for worshipping Him. And a bit later on, we're going to be thinking about our theme for the service, which is the power to change lives and the difference that women have made and are making to change lives. But we start with God. We start with worship with Him. Sing to the Lord a new song. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. We went to Codderton's Fish Shaker the other day, and this photograph you could see on the screen was of the blossom, the almond blossom, looking up to a blue sky. Just a glimpse of the glory of God and His creation. Our first song is a lyric video song. I'd encourage you to stand and sing with it. And it's pictures of God's glorious creation. And we can sing and say, yes, we're going to worship the Lord who made us and made everything. Let's worship.
Please stay standing for our second song.
Morning are inside your eyes. The been on a trip. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon we will be coming home. You're beautiful.
Just looking at the beauty of the Lord.
I see the beauty of the Lord when I look at the children's faces.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, we thank you for those marvelous images of the universe and all the wonders that you have created. And even when we look at these lovely flowers in front of us here, they're so wonderful, Lord. You could have made them all one colour, but you've made them multiple colours.
Thank you, Lord.
And they are so moving, Lord. We praise you for all your goodness.
Amen. We see the beauty of your love on the cross that's empty because you died and you rose and you are glorified in heaven in your full beauty and majesty. And thank you for the gift of faith that means we know this is true, that you are there praying for us. Lord, help us always to see your beauty. Amen.
Amen.
Right, so we're thinking today about the power to change lives. The power to change lives. And Debbie's put this service together and this theme together, and she's asked me to ask you a question, so I can blame her. And the question is, this is for everybody, not just children, it could be children, it could be adults. I want you to tell us about the wise women that have changed your life. Could have been mum, it could be grandmother, aunt, sister, could be your own daughter. Our wise women, our two girls, are very wise, and we've been so blessed by our wise women, our two daughters. But who'd like to tell me, as a celebration of, yes, about a wise woman? Yes.
My mummy.
Your mummy's wise, is she? Did she tell you to say that?
Yes.
Yes. A very wise woman indeed. Wise women. Come on, I'm looking around. Have you got no wise women in your lives? Have you had no wise women? Hillary, yes, I've got them.
Martha in the Bible.
That's it. Just, honestly, you've got to...
Martha in the Bible.
Ah, so we have wise women in the Bible. We're going to come to that later as well. Wise women. Has anybody got any wise women in their lives? Oh, good. D, yes.
My mother-in-law, she prayed for me.
She prayed
always for my salvation.
Wow. Thank God for praying mother-in-laws. I'll come back to you a moment. Yeah, wise women.
I'm going to embarrass her. Charlie, my daughter, 16. For a 16-year-old, she is extremely wise, and I love her.
It is one of the privileges of parents to embarrass our children. When they get to a certain age, because they spent the previous 16 years embarrassing us. So, okay, we got one over here. Mark.
My wife, who changed my life when I met her.
Sorry?
My wife, who changed my life when I met her.
So she had the power to... I'm not going to ask how she changed your life, but she changed your life.
Changed my life.
Good, excellent. Other wise women. Have we got any wise women? People who've been blessed by wise women. Yes, June.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. How was she... How she blessed you?
She kept me on the right road.
She kept
you
on
the
right
road. Told me what I was doing wrong.
Okay. We're not going to go into details, June, because she's obviously... we don't need to know anymore. We just need to know. Anthony, yeah, you're just waving. That's right. Well, I have to wave. Well, if you do wave, you get in danger of a microphone. Who else have we got? Someone over here, was it? Sheila. Yeah, Sheila.
My Sunday school teacher, because she told me about Jesus.
She told you about Jesus. Who had a lady Sunday school teacher who told them about Jesus? There you go. Excellent. I had a man who told me about Jesus as well. Anybody else want about wise women? Yes. Do you want to say something about a wise woman? Don't worry. I don't know your name, by the way.
Grace.
Do you know what? I think somebody was very wise when they told you Grace.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about a wise woman? I think that's wonderful. Grace, what a beautiful name. Anybody else wise women? Yes, I've got a wise man there at the back who wants to talk about a wise woman. David?
My grandmother prayed for me every day. I become a Christian and work with young people. And my mother prayed for me as well.
Wow. Reminds me of Timothy in the Bible, who had his mother and his grandmother praying for a teacher. We could go on. I know there are lots of stories. There are lots of wise women in our lives, but we praise God for them. Debbie, over to you. Do you want... Does Andrew need this?
Yeah.
It's live, so behave with it.
So in preparation for today, I was very privileged to spend two evenings with the Girls Brigade, wasn't I? And we spent some time thinking about women who had made a difference in our lives. The younger ones talked about people that they knew, and the older ones talked about women in the Bible who had the power to make difference in other people's lives, and who did things that might not have been expected of them. So I thought what we would start to do is think about the girls, the little ones, and I wonder if any of you can remember what you said that you would like to say thank you for that your mum did. Can you use the mic? Or another lady, it could be a grandma.
Thank you for getting her and us Harley Quinn clothes and Batgirl clothes, wasn't it?
That's right. You thought it was wonderful that your mum knew that you liked dressing up. That was really good. What else did people say?
Thank you for your love today.
Thank you for your love today. Wow, thank you. Who else would like to say something?
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us. Wonderful. Is there anybody else here who is a child who would like to say something about their mum or their grandma or their auntie or a lady who helps them? No, that's lovely. And what we did, because everybody had something to say, we put it together as a prayer, didn't we? So shall we listen to that prayer and let everybody else hear your prayer? And Angela's going to read it.
Dear God, thank you for making our mummies, aunties, grandmas, nannies, sisters, and all women who help us, all who have helped us in the past. Thank you that they give us clothes, keep us warm, buy us Snow White costumes, Batgirl and Harlequin too. Thank you for the way that they help other mummies, daddies and children. Some don't have a home. Thank you for the way that they love us, take care of us, care for us, help make things to fit us. Thank you that they buy us things, give us surprises, no first aid. Thank you that they gave us life. Thank you for all these things. Thank you, God, for giving us mummies and women. And all God's children said,
Amen.
When it came to the older girls, I felt it was really important to think about a very wide range of women, not just women who were mothers or daughters. And we thought about women who were named and women who were unnamed. We thought about the midwives who were involved at Moses' birth. We thought about Moses' mother and her daughter. That's Moses' sister. We thought about when Moses went down the river, he was saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, and her sister had a really wise idea, and you will hear about that later. We thought about mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, older women and small children, all who made a difference. And you can find them all in the Bible. And what we've done is we've put some pictures from the worksheets that we used out on the side on the table. And maybe you would like to have a quick look to see women who had the power, who changed lives from the Old and New Testament. I asked some of the girls who were present to say three things about the woman that they chose, who inspired them, that we had talked about. Some of the girls are here today. Oh, we've got none of them. All right, okay. So what we've done is we thought that we would ask other people to say those words because we promised them that if they couldn't come today, their words would be heard. So the first person who thought about who they would like to choose was Rachel. And Rachel said three things about Miriam, Moses' sister.
Yes, Rachel said three things about her. She stood and watched her brother, Moses, in the basket on the river. She asked the king's daughter if she wanted someone to look after him. The third thing, then she got her own mother to look after him. How did she help Moses? Miriam helped by watching over him until he was found and looked after.
The second girl who chose was Grace.
Grace wrote three things about Ruth. She was a daughter-in-law. She's brave. Her husband died. We talked about how she was brave to choose to go to Israel with her mother-in-law, which meant leaving her own family and country. She was brave to go out into the fields to find food as a foreigner, and brave to talk to Boaz, the man who was the landowner.
Thank you, Dee. Then Jessica decided that she would like to choose the woman at the well.
Jess wrote these three things. Jesus asked for a drink from a Samaritan woman. The woman came at a different time to everyone else because she had five husbands and was living with another man. Jesus is the Messiah, and the woman knew the Messiah was coming. The woman's testimony allowed many Samaritans to believe in God.
They had a chance to look the verses up in the Bible, and that's what they gathered from looking at the Bible, finding out about the women. And finally, Taya said three things about the woman that Jesus healed on his way to heal a child, a little girl. And Angela's going to do that.
She said she was bleeding, and she touched Jesus, and she stopped bleeding. She touched Jesus without knowing him. She was shy and she didn't want to bother Jesus. She thought that she was not as important as everyone else. We also talked about her bravery to disobey social rules, leave her house and go to find Jesus, and the strength of her faith. Jesus felt her faith when she touched his clothes, even though he hadn't seen her.
Thank you. As you can tell, they had a lot of interest in thinking about the women, and actually they asked some beautiful questions, and it was a real privilege to work with them and with Angela and the people who were helping, and I look forward to doing that again. You will see their work as well on the windows in the garden, the Lynx windows, because in the next few weeks we're going to find a time when they can decorate them for Easter. So we'll have a chance to see what we also talked about when I was with them in a few weeks' time. So thank you, girls. You were wonderful. Thank you.
I thought this would be a good opportunity to pray for our girls here, that they have the power to change lives, both now and as they grow up. They will reach their full potential. But also, as you heard those stories, they give us insights as to how we can pray for ladies today. And I was mindful particularly of something that came up on the news. You may have heard the phrase that one of the news reporters made from Ukraine as he was doing a report on the women who were taking their families out of their homes. It was the ladies, the women, are leading the exile. The men are staying, the ladies are leaving. They've got the ones who have responsibility for the children or their older parents and so on. So let's pray now, whether it's close here or further afield, let's pray particularly for ladies who have the power to change lives and who are under all sorts of difficult pressures in life.
Father, we thank you for these girls that we have sitting on the front row and on the second row. We thank you for the way that they have contributed to what's been said on Monday night. We thank you for Angela and her faithfulness to these girls. And I just pray for Taya and Rachel.
Grace.
And the three girls are not here, and we pray for them. Lord, you know that they wanted to come today, but perhaps the hour on the time of getting up was a bit difficult, and perhaps they had wanted to go visit their own grandmas or someone else in the family. So bless them wherever they are, and especially I pray for Taya.
Yes.
We know the reason probably why she's not here. So we pray for you now, and Sylvia, and Paul, at this very difficult time in their lives. prayer specially that you will heal Eunella and bring her back strong again to us in the future. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we know that some of those ladies will not see their husbands, their fathers, their sons again. And Lord, we pray that you would be their comforter. You would be their strength. And we pray that these ladies, as they take their families away from home, will find a new home. As we've been reminded many times this year, you, Jesus, were a refugee. Your parents had to flee. And so, Lord, you understand what's going on. And we pray your blessing upon all those who have been displaced, that they will find new homes, and above all, that they would have your comfort. They would know your presence with them. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the remarkable strength of women. I think that women have strengths that we men don't have.
Yes, ma'am.
And we thank you for that. And as we think of those women who have become refugees, we hope it's only in the short term, and their children. We remember all those families who are going to be host families to look after them. And a lot of that will come down to the woman of the house.
Yes, ma'am.
Providing hospitality,
yeah,
and also love and care. So we thank you that in the midst of all this awfulness, there are lovely, willing people who just want to help and heal.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank for women who
have
been adoptable foster children,
who are happy to take a child into their home, and men as well. The men and women who actually will foster and adopt children and care for them. And I'd like to give thanks for all the women who cared for me in my life, who filled in jigsaw puzzle pieces that perhaps my family weren't able to provide. They did their best, they did everything they could, but I was blessed to have other people who filled those jigsaw pieces in. And I give thanks to all women and girls who see a need and respond to it in that way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Debbie's now going to bring a message to us from God's Word.
My talk today is titled, Do You Believe You Have the Power to Change Lives? As part of my ministerial formation course, I was recently asked to choose a desert island scripture verse to talk about. I chose a verse from the reading that we're going to hear today because it is the reason why I'm on the course and going to college and standing here today. As I read the passage following a period of prayer and meditation, I had a profound experience. It was as if I stood alongside Isaiah and said the same words intentionally from my heart. Until that point, having given my heart to Jesus as a newly retired lady of leisure 18 months before, I was really enjoying getting to know Jesus. I was marveling at his ways, loving scripture and worship, enthralled when watching the power of the Holy Spirit in other people, working and guiding and transforming, and enjoying the peace of feeling part of God's family, his beloved daughter. Suddenly, I found myself, through faith and obedience, commissioned by Jesus, by God, to offer and use my experiences, my gifting, my resources, my energy, my life, as part of his plan. No longer a lady of leisure, to worship through service. I also knew at that point that I wanted to be baptized, to proclaim my faith publicly, and through full immersion, intentionally put aside unhelpful habits and thought patterns from my previous life, thus creating space for God to grow more helpful, healing habits and attitudes. So let's listen to that scripture, shall we? That desert island scripture. And Jean is going to come and read it for us.
Thank you, Jean. Right, well, this is page 691 in the Church Bibles. It's Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Thank you, Jean. Some of you may be aware that last Friday it was Red Nose Day. Perhaps you saw some of it on the TV news or heard about it through school. The reason I mention it is the strap line for 2022's Red Nose Day this year was, "You have the power to change lives." Do you believe that you have the power to change lives? God certainly had the power to change Isaiah's life. He was transformed from someone deeply aware of his limitations and personal sin into a prophet who had the confidence to speak out for God and be God's mouthpiece, often in difficult situations. He wasn't forced to do it, he chose to. Just like all of us, God had given Isaiah the gift of free will. I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't spoken up and said, here I am, choose me. But that's another sermon for another week. Thousands of years later, through Isaiah's witness in Scripture and the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, my life was changed. God asked me to do something, and I heard myself say yes. I'm sure I am not alone. Scripture speaks into all of our hearts in one way or another. God's children, young or old, married or single, man or woman, parents or not, have the power to change lives. Unlike Isaiah, we don't need the seraphim to take away our sins using hot coals on our lips. It's good, isn't it? We were blessed, and we are blessed. Jesus has already done that for us. As soon as we say sorry, we are forgiven. We only need to look around and see the inspiration in this room and or think about those we know or have known to continue to inspire, who continue to inspire us despite no longer being here in person. And it's not about just doing big things, big heroic things. Small actions done intentionally through love are just as precious in God's eyes and should be in our eyes too. Remember the sparrows. Matthew 10:29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. It was an inspiration to spend time with Angela and the Girls Brigade in preparation for the service. And Girls Brigade certainly has the power to change lives. We had the prayer from the younger girls about how women in their own life impacted on them. And the older girls talked about women written about in the Bible. Scripture is God's word. If these women were in the Bible, then they were there for a reason, to teach us something. God doesn't waste his words. These girls and women had and have the power to change lives. Miriam, Moses' sister, who we can see in the picture, used her gift of wisdom. Ruth, her pastoral heart. The Samaritan woman could have left when Jesus came to the well, or kept her eyes down, pretending not to notice him or hear him. But she didn't. Through her gifting of hospitality, she spoke to Jesus, who blessed her with forgiveness and guidance. What she learned led her to tell others about him and of him, spreading the word. The nameless woman who was bleeding that Jesus healed was deemed unclean and shunned. In faith, she risked everything to come out of her home to meet Jesus. Not only was she transformed through healing, but those who witnessed the miracle were transformed too. These women had the power to change lives, not in their own strength. God was with them. If you had the power to change lives, would you use it? Throughout the Bible, there are stories of men and women, girls and boys, who dared to act and change lives in both small and big ways through faith and obedience. Some named and some not, but all part of God's kingdom plan. If I was going to choose a woman from the Old Testament that I felt changed lives, I would say three things about Deborah. Can we see the picture of Deborah? Have a look and see if you can actually see her. There's the next one, is it? This is Deborah. This is Deborah going into battle. But she didn't do that at the beginning of her life. And I'm going to tell you three things about her. My name is Deborah, and I used to spend a lot of time trying not to be Deborah, because my mum and dad used to use the name Deborah when they were telling me off. But then I read about Deborah when I was reading Judges in the Bible, chapters 4 and 5. And do you know, it helped me to like my name now. I invite you to read about her when you get home. It's an exciting story. She was a Hebrew, a wise woman, a prophetess, and a heroine. Like Isaiah, Deborah sought the Lord. The first thing about Deborah is most days she sat under a palm tree, like the one that we've got in our Renew Psalm 23 garden, with her scrolls, and used her gifts of wisdom and discernment. She was really good at helping people to make good, wise choices and sort out situations when people were arguing, and people trusted her. The second thing about Deborah was she didn't just tell people what to do. She was prepared to do it herself if necessary, and God knew this too. There was a war, and it was rather like what is happening in the Ukraine at the moment, the things we see on the television. A conflict situation involving two armies, with one army appearing much more powerful and better equipped than the other. The enemy of Deborah's people had enormous chariots pulled by horses with bits of iron sticking out of them, and they were really unbreakable and huge. They also had lots more men than Deborah's country had and people had. Her people were frightened and they called out to God for help. And God listened, God responded, and God asked Deborah to do something. Without hesitation, Deborah said yes, and found herself getting up, leaving the shade of her palm tree, and going to fight to help the Hebrew army win. She became a warrior, and with God's help, Deborah and the army won. Deborah believed that with God's help, she had the power to change lives. Would you dare to be Deborah?
No.
The third thing about Deborah, after the battle was won, Deborah sang a song. You can read about it in Judges chapter 5. It wasn't a song about how clever and brave she had been. It was a song of praise, thanks and worship with God placed firmly in the centre, and all credit given to him. In her wisdom, Deborah knew we have the power to change lives, but not in our own strength. With God's help, we have the power to change lives. You, me, everybody here. Last week in his message, Stephen asked, "What are you looking for? Who are you seeking?" And he led us to think about, are you seeking God? He reminded us of Matthew's word, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It's Matthew 6:33, if you want to look at it. who reminded us that our first calling is to seek God, the Lord, not the type of seeking in hide and seek, where once you find the person, the game is over. Rather, it involves a lifelong exploration of who God is, a lifelong seeking after the Lord, enjoying his presence and worshipping him in spirit and truth. And Stephen said, as we seek him, we are given God's personal assurance that we will find him in whatever place we find ourselves, in whatever difficulties we face, as long as we seek him with all our heart. If we seek him with all our heart, he will give us the power to change lives. God wants us to change lives, and it starts with us putting our faith in him. The word tells us that he has known each one of us since before the beginning of time, Jeremiah 1:5 and Psalm 139. Each one of us is precious in his sight and here for a reason. We are placed here for a reason. So I leave you with two questions. Do you truly believe that with God's gift of a helper, Holy Spirit, you have the power to change lives? And if and when you are prompted by God, will you dare to be Deborah? Thank you.
Thank you.
It starts with saying, Jesus, Jesus, here I am. That's what Isaiah said, it's what Debbie said, and it's what all of us need to do. We start with saying, yes, I'm here. Now, this is a song we haven't got the words up on the screen for, because we're trying to remember this one, and we remember it with our actions. You got it ready? Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Do you just want to play a little bit just to remind us how the tune goes? I encourage you to join in the actions, because this way it helps you remember the words. Feel free to stay seated for this one. That is thank you. It's lovely, that, isn't it? A kiss. Thank you. And the reason we do this for Jesus, why do we do this for Jesus? Why we do this for Jesus? Girls here, you may not have heard this before. Some of the adults may not either. But Jesus, when he was crucified, was nailed through here. That's how he was attached to the cross. So the reason we say Jesus is because that reminds us of how much he loves us, that he went to the cross for us. So let's sing one more time. Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, Jesus, take my hand. You give to everyone a love that won't end. Thank you, Jesus, you're my friend. We're going to sing our second song before we have our gifts to be given out. We start with, Jesus, I'm here. And then we get to the next thing, which is, my life, I want to build on you. On this rock, this next song is. Now, sometimes, girls, you have to come and have to learn songs that the rest of the congregation know. Not the case today. None of them know it today. So we're all in this together. But it's on this rock, I will build my life. On this rock, I will build my life. Jesus, rock of my salvation. Jesus, lover of my soul. You alone give life that lasts forever. You alone can make me whole. Call me up, call me higher. Turn me towards you once again. As the fragrance of your holiness lingers in my heart, I put my trust in you, my Lord and friend. On this rock, I will build my life. On this rock, I found a love that satisfies. On this rock, I will live and never die. On this rock, I will build my life. I'm reading those words because some of us can't read. And we take it for granted. So, those who can read, sing the words out really loudly. For those who can't read, they can hear. Feel free to stand for this one. If that helps you to stand on the rock, we'll go. One, two.
Once you once.
trust in you, my Lord and friend. On this rock I will build my life. On this rock I found the love that satisfies. On this rock I will live and never die. On this rock I will build my life. On this rock I will build my life. On this rock I will build my life.
So, the time when we are going to bless every woman in the room. And I need some help, so we're going to have Claire and Sue come and help us, please. And we also need some smaller helpers. Have I got some smaller helpers? Could all the children come and help me? Do you think you could? Wow!
Thank you.
Connie, would you like to come and help us as well? Because what we'd like you to do is go and find a lady in the room. It could be a mum or a dad that you know, a mum or a grandma that you know, or it could be somebody you don't know that you just want to give a blessing gift to. All right? So go and take the flowers and find somebody and come back for some more. You'll see on the gift tags, ladies, that we've got a little blessing for you that has been made. And we've been very lucky because everybody has taken part in this. So Sue and Claire organised flowers and tags, and lots of ladies helped. Sorry. Right, now I need somebody who can climb stairs. Who could climb stairs for me? Would you climb stairs? Can you see upstairs there are two ladies who might like some flowers? It's right upstairs. Can somebody show her where she's going? Thank you. Right. I think there's more ladies who haven't got flowers yet. We've got lots to do. It's all right, they've gone. You can find another lady for me. Keep your eyes peeled to see who hasn't got flowers. Here we go, girlies. That's it. Yeah, if you haven't got flowers, ladies, could you put your hands up so people can help? Lovely. Here we go, my darling. Look for the hands up. I think Dee's got her hand up. Janine's got her hand up at the back. Now, have you got flowers? Now there's somebody here who hasn't got flowers. Who would like to give Angela some flowers? Would you like to give those to Angela? Would you like to give those to Sue, who's over there helping? Would you like to give those to Claire? Well done. Is there any lady in the room who hasn't got flowers? Has everybody got some? If... Oh, that's so kind of you. What we'll also do is we would like anybody who would like to take flowers to somebody who's at home who's not here. And we've also kept some flowers back so that tomorrow when we have garden group, we can bless the ladies who work in the shops in Winner Street and anybody else that we see, so that we can actually spread a little bit of love to them as well. Right, girls, would you like to take one home for your mummy if they're not here, or your grandma, whoever you'd like to see? Here we go, my darling. Would you like to take that home? Right. If there's anybody who would like flowers to take home, will you come up afterwards and get some, please? Because I think Stephen wants to sing.
We started our service focusing on the God who created everything and such beauty. And we've been thinking about all the way through the service the beauty of the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. We're going to finish our service with a song of declaration that Jesus is Lord. And we're going to say it alongside the whole of creation. Take those leaflets of new life and hope with you. Stay for lunch if you can, and give these flowers out with joy and happiness as you go. A sign of God's grace.
We've got coffee as well if anybody would like.